Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. So once again, Happy New Year to everyone. We pray that this new liturgical season gives us a fresh strength of God's grace and God's love. And it is an exciting journey, not only towards Christmas, but a renewed opportunity to be strengthened as messengers, disciples of the good news in our world today. A few weeks ago, I started a message series, and this is the last of the three homily series entitled Back to the Basics, the Fundamentals of Christian Life and Mission of the Church. It is always good for us to go back to those fundamentals, to go back to the basics of why we exist as a church and the mission that each of us have within the church to proclaim the good news. As we ended the liturgical year, the last Sunday, last weekend, with the solemnity of Christ the King. But then also now as we begin this new year and the beautiful story of salvation. In the first homily of the series, I focused in on two fundamental basics for us as disciples and for the mission of the church. And they were rooted in the first reading from the book of Kings about the widow. Place God first by following his commands. Elijah encounters this widow who has only a little bit of food left for herself and her son, and then they're going to die. Elijah says, "You know, feed me first." And a miracle takes place. She trusted, and then she didn't run out of food. In the gospel, Jesus talked about this poor widow who put in two little coins, not enough really for a penny's worth, into the treasury. She placed her heart and soul and gave it over to God. And I talked about the call to invest yourself completely to the Lord. You know, when she placed those two little coins in, she was placing her entire life into God's hands. And if we're going to be messengers, if we're going to be missionaries as a church, we have to give ourselves completely to the Lord. Let go of our own agendas or what we expect the church to do, and to follow where God calls us to share his good news. In the second homily, a couple of weeks after that, talked about this main fundamental of read the signs of the times, finding and sharing God's grace. All the readings leading up to the end of the church's year, and even the gospel today, talks about the end times for us. You know, to be ready, to be alert, not to be afraid. But it also beckoned us, as Jesus talked about in the gospel for the second homily, was take a look at, you know, the trees, take a look at the leaves, you know when summer is coming. You know, read the signs of the times, finding and sharing God's grace. We need to look around as missionaries, as messengers. This is fundamental to our Christian life, to find out where God is and God's grace experienced in the sacraments, in our connections with one another, but also trying to find out where we need to share God's grace. And I referenced about two or three quotes from Pope Francis's letter on the World Day for the Poor. If you ever get a chance to read that letter, it's not very long, it's 4 or 5 pages, but it is a very powerful reminder for us that those in need are not simply opportunities for us to make a transaction in charity, to give some food or money out of our excess for those who are in need somehow, that they're disconnected from us. But the reality of us as church and as missionaries, we make room at our table for the poor, the suffering, the alone, the forgotten, because they're part of our family. And so there is this sense of looking for God's grace and looking for opportunities to share God's grace. And now we come to this last homily of this series that I think helps all of us as a family of parishes and each of us to share the good news. Last weekend, we celebrated Christ the King. And there are many different kingships that we see in our world today. Who's the king of rock and roll? Elvis Presley. There he is. And we have different ways we use the word king. And the way we use the word king in our world today, a little bit different than the way we use the word king for Christ the King. The king of hockey teams, and don't say the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're far from the kings of hockey. And it's not even the Boston Bruins. Anyone know? The Los Angeles Kings. Work with me, people. Work with me. Hey, the LA Kings. King of fast food. If you don't get this one, I'm leaving. Burger King, right? The Whopper, home of the Whopper. I get no money from them advertising them. The king of basketball. So I'm looking for a team first and then an individual. Yeah, Sacramento Kings. Okay, not a very good team. Okay, but they are kings, apparently. And then this one, does anyone know who they call king? They say it's the initial, the first name of this player starts with a J. King James, yeah. LeBron James, although I'm a Larry Bird fan. So, but King James, eh? One more, I think. I got one more. Okay, no young children should answer this question. The king of beers. Budweiser, they even have a crown in their name. Right? All of these different versions of king focus in on themselves, how great we are, how much awesome food we offer, you know, we're the best team, and it's all focused in on themselves. And yet when we say Jesus Christ the King, is very different. Although Christ deserves all praise and honor, and he is our King, he shares his power, he shares his kingdom, he shares his authority with all of us, because his crown is not one of gold and diamonds. Christ's crown is a crown of thorns. A sign of suffering, a sign of pain, but ultimately it is a sign of love. A love for us. So the Lord's kingship is one that pours out for our salvation, pours out for our sake, pours out to share his love. And that's the kingdom that we seek to embrace, but also seek to live. Because through our baptism, strengthening, and confirmation, Christ gives us a share of his power, his authority, and his love to be used in the world today. That's the mission of the church. And during the season of Advent, we prepare for the King. In the first reading from Jeremiah, we heard, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." When we celebrate now this Advent season, it is this opportunity for us to journey again and to remember God's love story with us and for us. Jeremiah proclaims that this longing for the people of Israel and for us to receive the Lord is happening, is being fulfilled. And God does that out of love to transform us and to bring us closer to Him. In the second reading, and there's this theme of this love, we heard, "Brothers and sisters, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you." The last fundamental in this series for the church and for us as disciples is our lives must be rooted in love of God and one another. These are simple things, and we know them sometimes in our heads, but sometimes it doesn't transfer to our hearts and to our hands. That's why we go through the liturgical season over and over again, because we disconnect or dismember ourselves from that good news that we are not only called to receive and to embrace, but we're called to share and to give to those who are in need. And it's ultimately that relationship is everything. That's what our church is about. Our church isn't about following rules. We need them as frameworks, but it's all about our relationships with God and with one another that have to be nurtured and strengthened and healed and transformed, because our relationships are the things that really are eternal. Now, today, I celebrated a funeral, a mass earlier today, one of our parishioners. And we went out to this afternoon to Wardsville for the burial, the cemetery there. And I prayed the burial prayers, the interment prayers, and we concluded, and there was a silence. But during that entire time, a husband was kneeling and draped over the casket, weeping out of love for his wife who's gone home to the kingdom. As very difficult it was for the family, it was a very powerful reminder of embracing what is eternal, and that our relationship, and in this family, very strong sense of faith. They know God is with them. They know that she's gone home to the kingdom. But there was this immense love that I said during the homily today, that not even death can sever this bond of love with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our loved ones, and with God. And fundamentally, everything we do as a church and as missionaries in our world has to be rooted in that relationship with God and with each other. In the gospel, we heard, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Because Advent is this kind of threefold season. We look back at the incarnation, the Word that became flesh. Jesus came to us out of love to show us the pathway to the kingdom, to show us how to love, to reconnect with our Heavenly Father, and to connect with one another in a very powerful way, in a way that we still have to work at, because there's so many divisions in our world today. Political, the pandemic crisis, even religion, there's divisions in our faith. It's not what we're called to do, not what we're called to be. We have to connect and love one another. And during the season of Advent, it's also a time in the past, in the present, to try to renew and invite the Lord again into our hearts, into our daily lives, but also it's looking into the future for the second coming of the Lord, and we have to be ready. Be ready at all times. What does that mean? Live the gospel every day. Live in love. Share the good news. Use the power and grace that God has given to us to share His kingdom with those who are suffering, with those who are forgotten. That's the fundamentals. I started this homily series about my golf swing and how terrible it was. And when you have a bad golf swing, you go back to the basics to straighten it out. Well, for us too, in our Christian journey, and for us as a family of parishes, in the post-pandemic world, we have to go back to the basics and the fundamentals of why we're here and where the Lord is sending us. It's not simply to come to Mass. That's not enough. We have to try to be Christ in this world today the best way we can, to seek that healing, that grace, and that strength that only God can offer to us. And so during this Advent season, as I conclude this third homily of this series of Back to the Basics, let us pray for those opportunities to think about what gifts, what talents, what abilities, and what opportunities are there for us to share the good news, not for our personal benefit, but for the benefit of those who are in most need. The power and the grace of our discipleship and the power and the grace of the church shines most brightly when it most fully lives out the gospel for those who are in need, materially, spiritually, socially in need, those who are disconnected, those whom we so often forget. The church is there to bring them into the fold. That has to begin with us in our Advent journey. We have an Advent Holy Hour series starting Sunday nights. Every Sunday night we have Advent confessions. We have our Christmas masses set up. Not just a time for us to celebrate and rejoice, but to commit again to sharing the great joy that we receive with those, so many in our world, in our neighborhoods, down the street from us, that need God's grace, that we receive from this table, to when we walk out those doors to share that light in the midst of the darkness of this night, that joy, that grace, and that love that only we can offer. Let us be true kings. Let us be true servants of the King of Kings, sharing light, sharing peace, sharing joy, and serving humbly with love. Love of God and love of one another.